Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of 2 Chronicles today. So if you find 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Samuel, right after Kings. And then if you find Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, it's right before those books. So 2nd Chronicles, we're going to be reading chapters 1 through 5, possibly taking some devotional pauses and thinking of some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. And 2 Chronicles, Father, one of those books we typically don't take a long look at. So as we read about some of the history that is here, help me to understand how this applies to my relationship with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Chronicles 1. Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Good start. Then Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, to the judges and to all the leaders in Israel, the heads of families, and Solomon and the whole assembly went to the high place at Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the Lord's servant, had made in the wilderness. Now David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim to the place he had prepared for it, because he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. But the bronze altar that Bezaleel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was in Gibeon in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly inquired of him there. Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "God, you have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I've made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you, and I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have." Wow. So he gives him these choices. He asks for wisdom, and God's going to give him that and much more. Verse 13, "Then Solomon went to Jerusalem from the high place of Gibeon, from before the tent of meeting, and he reigned over Israel. Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. The king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones and cedars, plentiful as sycamore fig trees in the foothills. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from Kew. The royal merchants purchased them from Kew at the current price. They imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. They also exported them all the kings of the Hittites and of the Arameans." Chapter 2. By the way, we'll see later, you know, Solomon, part of what he starts to do is, even though God's giving him all these things, he also starts to go outside of the regulations God had given to all kings, including going to Egypt to get chariots and horses. Chapter 2. Solomon gave orders to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal palace for himself. He conscripted 70,000 men as carriers and 80,000 as stone cutters in the hills and 3,600 as foremen over them. Wow, it's a lot of workers. Solomon sent this message to Hiram, king of Tyre. "Send me cedar logs as you did for my father David when you sent him cedar to build a palace to live in. Now I'm about to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God and to dedicate it to him for burning fragrant incense before him, for setting out the consecrated bread regularly, and for making burnt offerings every morning and evening and on the Sabbaths, at the new moons and at the appointed festivals of the Lord our God. This is a lasting ordinance for Israel. The temple I'm going to build will be great because our God is greater than all other gods. But who is able to build a temple for him, since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him? Who then am I to build a temple for him, except as a place to burn sacrifices before him? Send me, therefore, a man skilled to work in gold and silver, bronze and iron, and in purple, crimson, and blue yarn, and experienced in the art of engraving to work in Judah and Jerusalem with my skilled workers, whom my father David provided. Send me also cedar, juniper, and algum logs from Lebanon, for I know that your servants are skilled in cutting timber there. My servants will work with yours to provide me with plenty of lumber, because the temple I build must be large and magnificent. I will give your servants, the woodsmen who cut the timber, 20,000 cores of ground wheat, 20,000 cores of barley, 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of olive oil. Hiram, king of Tyre, replied by letter to Solomon, because the Lord loves his people, he has made you their king. And Hiram added, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who made heaven and earth. He has given King David a wise son, endowed with intelligence and discernment, who will build a temple for the Lord and a palace for himself. I am sending you Huram Abi, a man of great skill, whose mother was from Dan and whose father was from Tyre. He is trained to work in gold and silver, bronze and iron, stone and wood, and with purple and blue and crimson yarn and fine linen. He is experienced in all kinds of engraving and can execute any design given to him. He will work with your skilled workers and with those of my lord David, your father. Now let my lord send his servants the wheat and barley and the olive oil and wine he promised, and we will cut all the logs from Lebanon that you need and will float them as rafts by sea down to Joppa. You can then take them up to Jerusalem. Solomon took a census of all the foreigners residing in Israel after the census his father David had taken, and they were found to be 153,600. He assigned 70,000 of them to be carriers and 80,000 to be stonecutters in the hills, with 3,600 foremen over them to keep the people working. So people are recognizing all that Solomon is doing. They recognize God's blessing, and they're part of the blessing. Chapter 3. Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite, the place provided by David. He began building on the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. The foundation Solomon laid for building the temple of God was 60 cubits long and 20 cubits wide, using the cubit of the old standard. The portico at the front of the temple was 20 cubits long across the width of the building and 20 cubits high. He overlaid the inside with pure gold. He paneled the main hall with juniper and covered it with fine gold and decorated with a palm tree and chain designs. He adorned the temple with precious stones, and the gold he used was gold apparavim. He overlaid the ceiling beams, door frames, walls, and doors of the temple with gold, and he carved cherubim on the walls. He built the most holy place, its length corresponding to the width of the temple, 20 cubits long and 20 cubits wide. He overlaid the inside with 600 talents of fine gold. The gold nails weighed 50 shekels. He also overlaid the upper parts with gold. For the most holy place, he made a pair of sculpted cherubim and overlaid them with gold. The total wingspan of the cherubim was 20 cubits. One wing of the first cherub was 5 cubits long and touched the temple wall, while its other wing, also 5 cubits long, touched the wing of the other cherub. Similarly, one wing of the second cherub was 5 cubits long and touched the other temple wall, and its other wing, also 5 cubits long, touched the wing of the first cherub. The wings of these cherubim extended 20 cubits. They stood on their feet, facing the main hall. He made the curtain of blue, purple, and crimson yarn and fine linen with cherubim worked into it. For the front of the temple, he made 2 pillars, which together were 35 cubits long, each with a capital 5 cubits high. He made interwoven chains and put them on top of the pillars. He also made 100 pomegranates and attached them to the chains. He erected the pillars in the front of the temple, one to the south and one to the north. The one to the north south he named Jachin, and the one to the north, Boaz. Chapter 4. He made a bronze altar, 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 10 cubits high. He made the sea of cast metal, circular in shape, measuring 10 cubits from rim to rim and 5 cubits high. It took a line of 30 cubits to measure around it. Below the rim, figures of bowls encircled it, 10 to a cubit. The bowls were cast in 2 rows in 1 piece with the sea. The sea stood on 12 bowls, 3 facing north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, and 3 facing east. The sea rested on top of them, and their hindquarters were toward the center. It was a handbreadth in thickness, and its rim was like the rim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It held 3,000 baths. He then made 10 basins for washing and placed 5 on the south side, 5 on the north. In them, the things to be used for the burnt offerings were rinsed, but the sea was to be used by the priest for washing. He made 10 gold lampstands according to the specifications for them and placed them in the temple, 5 on the south side, 5 on the north. He made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the south side, 5 on the north. He also made 100 gold sprinkling bowls. He made the courtyard of the priest and the large court and the doors of the court and overlaid the doors with bronze. He made the sea on the south side of the southwest corner, southeast corner. Don't want to mess that one up. And Huram also made the pots and shovels and sprinkling bowls. So Huram finished the work he had undertaken for King Solomon in the temple of God. The 2 pillars, the 2 bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, the 2 sets of network decorating the 2 bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, the 400 pomegranates for the 2 sets of network, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network, decorating the bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, the stands with their basins, the sea and the 12 bowls under it, the pots, shovels, meat, forks, and all related articles, all the objects that Hiram Abiy made for King Solomon for the temple of the Lord were polished bronze. The king had them cast in clay molds in the plain in the Jordan between Succoth and Zarethan. All these things that Solomon made amounted to so much the weight of the bronze could not be calculated. Solomon also made all the furnishings that were in gold, God's temple. The golden altar, the tables on which the bread of the presence, the lampstands of pure gold with their lamps to burn in front of the inner sanctuary as prescribed, the gold floral work and lamps and tongs, they were solid gold, the pure gold wick trimmer, sprinkling bowls, dishes, and censers, and the gold doors of the temple, the inner doors to the most holy place, and the doors of the main hall. Chapter 5. When all the work of Solomon had done for the temple, the work was finished. The temple of the Lord was finished. He brought in the things his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the furnishings, and he placed them in the treasuries of God's temple. Then Solomon summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the ark of the Lord's covenant from Zion, the city of David. And all the Israelites came together to the king at the time of the festival in the seventh month. When the elders of Israel had arrived, the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark in the tent of meeting and all the sacred furnishings in it. The Levitical priests carried them up, and King Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him were before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and cattle that they could not be recorded or counted. The priests then brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to the place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark and covered the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends extending from the ark could be seen from in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from outside the holy place, and they are still there today. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. The priests then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves, regardless of their divisions. All the Levites, who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives, stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform the service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. That's the end of chapter 5 and the end of our reading for today. Well, obviously the main thing going on here in the first five chapters of 2 Chronicles is the building of the temple. The fact that Solomon was going to be the one to do it, that he had asked for wisdom, that God was going to bless him in all kinds of ways. Some of that blessing started to come in. And then all the details of the temple. So what do we take away from this? Certainly, can learn more about God's holiness, the worship of God, the detail that he gave for that time, for those people, and all that they put in, all the money and effort they put in to building this worship place for God, where God would dwell during those days, and the Ark of the Covenant, where he said his presence would be. It's different today as he dwells in us. But we certainly learn about the importance of worship of God and giving to him. But what sticks out to me from my personal application is the call for wisdom. That of all the things I would ask God for as a pastor, I need wisdom. And that's going to be my application. I'm going to ask God to pour out his wisdom on me, even if nothing else good comes, that he would give me his wisdom. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. And for Solomon's example, Lord, although I know he blows it later, but at the beginning, he sets the example, I think, for all of us. And for me in particular today, Father, I'm asking for your wisdom. I need wisdom on how to lead. I need wisdom on how to honor you in my life in all areas. And Father, as it relates, you know, they were building a sanctuary for you. As it relates to the church, Father, to be a church that honors you, I know we need leaders that have your wisdom. So I'm asking you to pour out your wisdom on me so I would lead in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen.